Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What does it mean to have a pure heart? And what's our perfect example so we live and not just talk about this principle? Pastor Jerry Seawright continues with part 7 of our series on the Beatitudes with his sermon called All In. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
If you will, just bow your heads in a quick word of prayer with me. Holy Father, we just heard a powerful song. Lord, for those who put you first, for those who count on you for the very foundation of their lives, Lord, they love you more than anything. And Father, just as you said in your word, Lord, through these Beatitudes, Lord, we are covering probably the deepest one today, Father, which stresses purity, Father. Being pure in heart, Father, what it boils down to is holiness. For without it, no man will see you. Father, we ask on today, Lord, that you come in a mighty way. We ask that you use your servant on today, Father. Let the folks hear from on high. Let them hear your words, Father. Let them hear your message. Let them hear your instructions for their lives, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones or tablets, I ask that you turn to or punch up Matthew, 5th chapter. And I would like for you all to help me read Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 12. Verses 3 through 12. Matthew, 5th chapter, verses 3 through 12. And so that we can be on one accord, I ask that you turn to the New King James Version. New King James. And while you're turning there, let me just make a few quick announcements and updates. First of all, you know, like I say all the time, Sunday school, Sunday school, Sunday school. Please come out to Sunday school. Sunday school is where you get the meat of the word. Today we talked about Noah, man. And how many of you know that there was a great flood? Yeah. All right. How many of you know the background as to all of that flood? You don't, you would have covered it this morning in Sunday school. Amen. The other thing is the Tuesday evening services. Once again, that's where the rubber meets the road, and these Beatitudes are developed even deeper and further, and you have time enough to discuss with one another, to share what you have discovered in your studies and things of that nature. So we ask that you all come out, participate, be engaged in these services. The other thing that I would like to just let the church know is that the Lord just put on my heart to support these college students. And what was decided is that we are going to give the college students baskets, care baskets. We've given them some initially, but we're going to, like, give them baskets of little whatnots and things of that nature to, like, you know, like Skittles and Skittles, and that would be my basket, Skittles, right? But to give them something to say, here, hey, we are supporting you, and we're going to support that freshman 15 as well. I'm joking. But no, just to let them know. It'll be like a Sunday school book in there and things of that nature. Sister DeShayla's going to also help us with that. And there might be even some visits on the campus to those college students too. So watch yourself. just not to go and, you know, and spy on you, but just to encourage you. Amen. And we're going to do that for those who are away and for those who commute. Amen. Just to let you know that, hey, you know, we're thinking about you. We love you. And don't, you know, don't forget about us here at New Life. Here's another thing that I'm very excited about, and that is the Financial Peace University. Yeah, y'all will be saying amen in a minute if you really know what that's about. Now, if your money's funny, right, it can point to as to why your money's funny. Amen? And it'll let you get your financial house in order. Amen? It'll make you accountable as to how you spend and things of that nature. And we're going to follow that up with some other financial plans. So, I know that the cost per family is like $100. And you're like, ooh. But to be honest with you, as much as we hit McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, and I've been seeing some nice looking stuff on folks, I know we could just cut back a little bit and just say, I want some financial peace. Amen. Some financial peace with some biblical principles behind it as to how to treat your money. Some say, I ain't got no money to treat. Well, just come over and get prepared for that time in which you will have money. Amen? Amen. So come along. And then the last thing I want to emphasize is the apologetic conference. Now, what this is all about, what this walk is all about, is making sure that you are well-versed in Scripture. Amen? That's what the main goal of the church is all about, is to make sure that you can be equipped to live for Him. Amen? Amen. To preach for Him, to speak for Him, to represent Him as you should. Amen? And how better to do that than to be well informed as to your beliefs. Amen? So that's what this apologetic conference is about. And we ask that you participate in that conference, in financial peace, that you support us with the college baskets, and you definitely support us with Sunday school and Tuesday worship services. I'll call them worship services. Amen. Now, getting to the scripture, I asked you all just a minute ago to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, and I asked you all to either turn there or punch it up and your devices, and I ask you all to get the New King James Version. So I'm going to ask that we read that together, and hopefully it won't sound mumbly. Amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to take a chunk out of that, and we're just going to concentrate on verse 8 that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now let me begin by saying this. You know, one of the greatest temptations that preachers have is to come up and try to make the word exciting. Make the word exciting. You hear what I'm saying? To try to make the word exciting. Now, some would argue that the word is already exciting. And that is my argument, that the word is already exciting. So we are going to talk about holiness on today. Yes. Holiness. Yeah, but that's what we should be excited about, talking about holiness. 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 And the New Testament, God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." In the Old Testament, he said in Leviticus, "Be holy, for I am holy." If you ever read, or if you will read, the book of the Bible of Hosea, God gave Hosea instruction to go out and marry a prostitute. Can you imagine getting that instruction? "Brother so-and-so, goeth thou out and gettest thou a prostitute." "Sister so-and-so, goeth thou out and get thou a gigolo." Huh? Huh? But that's what he told Hosea to do, to go out and get and marry a prostitute. Now, obviously, you know how that relationship went. She did not change her ways and she went out. But this was for an example of how the children of Israel treated God. So Hosea represented God and his wife represented the children of Israel, how they continue to go out and do their things with other gods and things of that nature. And they did not stay faithful to the true and living God. In fact, things got so bad that his wife came back with children. Now imagine this. One of his children's name was not mine. Not mine. My God. You know, folks, they get riled up about a gas station that is selling gas with that's mixed with water. They get riled up about that. Like, "Don't go over there, man. They selling gas that's mixed with water. It's not right over there." They get even more riled up when they go to a restaurant and now folks are messing around with our hot sauce and diluted the hot sauce. It ain't even hot no more. Right? Messing around with the ketchup is all thin and can't stick to your French fry. Right? But what they should get even more riled up about is their infidelity towards God. When you talk about examples like Hosea, where his wife stepped out and things of that nature. Well, like I said, it points and it gives an example to how folks do God, where they're not faithful to him, where their lives are not about giving him glory, but it's about doing my thing. When it boils down to where life is not about being like him, it's not being holy, but it's enjoying it to the fullest until I die. Matthew 5 and 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This verse points to faithfulness. This verse points to commitment. This verse points to a choice that you have decided to make Jesus your choice. When Jesus sat down and he began to teach, he taught a message to those who believe. Now, those who did not believe, or if they were kind of like trying to make a choice, well, your choice was to make a choice to come on his side, because there was no compromise to his message. You either came his way or you went on your own. So this message is for those who believe. The Beatitudes are for those who are trying to be like him. Their goal in life is to be more like Jesus. So he goes and says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If you look at the Old Testament, as I stated before, you look in the Old Testament, and right before the children of Israel went into their promised land, God told Moses to come up to this mountain, and he gave Moses these commandments, these rules, these things that ought to be abided by. And he came down and he expressed these rules, these laws to the people. And the people needed rules and laws before they went into the promised land. Can you imagine starting a game and sitting down with somebody that don't know how to play chess? And then all of a sudden you put up the board and put the pieces all together and you know how to play and you make your move and you say, "Go." And they don't know the rules, and they don't know how to play or how to proceed. I mean, kids, can you imagine, like, if you up there playing like Call of Duty or NBA Live or whatever on your Xbox, and then your little 1-year-old sister come over and she got the controller, and you say, "Okay, let's play." And she's over there doing the controller like this and trying to bite it. It's frustrating, right? To try to play with somebody that don't know how to play. They need to know the rules. Jesus sat down, and this was his initial address to the people. And he said, "Okay, before you enter the kingdom, if you want to enter my kingdom, here are the requirements, here are the rules. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he went on down to, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, this concept of pure runs through the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. And in order to appreciate what's going on and what's being said here, we have to start from the Old Testament. And we have to understand what this concept of pure is all about. We have to understand that in order to have a foundation as to what Jesus is saying here. So in the Old Testament, the word pure made reference to clean and perfect and purged, choice and chosen. And ultimately what it pointed to is holiness. So the Beatitudes, being lined up with the Old Testament, is saying, blessed are the pure in heart. They will be allowed to enter his kingdom, the pure in heart. And those who are pure in heart are blessed. Why are they blessed? Because they will see God. They will see God. If that's not exciting to you, then I don't know how to make it exciting to you. One day, the pure in heart will see God. My mind went to John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, where Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And listen, that where I am, you may be also. I can't wait to be with him. Throughout the Old Testament, God slowly revealed this concept of pure. If you look in Exodus, the 30th chapter, verses 18 through 21, it basically tells you that the priest had to get himself prepared in order to step in service to God. Amen. Part of it reads this, and when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. You could not step to God any type of way you wanted to. You had to wash yourself and get ready to serve him. It goes on to say in Numbers, the 31st chapter, verse 23, everything that can stand the fire, you shall pass through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall also be purified with the water for impurity. And whatever cannot stand the fire, you shall pass through the water. There was a preparation. There was a preparation. There was a getting together in order to even step into the presence of God. And then it goes on, and we're talking about how this concept of pure in the Old Testament was brought out. In Leviticus, the 14th chapter, verses 6 through 7, he shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. So just by these three scripture references, we see that God used water, fire, and blood to purify. He used water, fire, and blood to purify. You could not step to God any kind of way. There was a process of where you had to be clean, which brings out a very important point. You know that the instrument God uses matters to him. It matters to him. I was messing around with my toolbox and I needed a flathead screwdriver. And I pulled out a flathead screwdriver where prior to I was working on something and I remembered that I broke this thing. And if you know flathead screwdrivers, they have a way of getting fat, and then all of a sudden they go skinny to a point where they can fit into a slot of the screw, and you can go ahead and do it. Well, if you break that off, all of a sudden it looks so fat that it can't get into a slot. Now, what I could do is I could go and I can get a very heavy hammer and just start banging it and banging and banging it, and then seeing if it shapes into where I can use this thing again, and then get a file and just file that edge real good, and all of a sudden just keep looking at it till it's filed right, and then all of a sudden it can be useful. It can be useful. It could be useful. Well, that's just like God with us. We're broken, right? And when we're broken, you know, sometimes he's got to just beat out what's not like him in us until he beat us. And then he's shaping us and he's molding us and seeing if we can get filed down all that stuff that's not like him until he shapes us until we can be used by him. The instrument matters to God. And that's what pure in heart is all about. That's what pure in heart is all about. Can you be used by God? Is your mission holiness? Is your desire holiness? Again, in the Old Testament, God gives us all types of examples. And he has to give us examples so that we can bring it home. Because we people, that's how we communicate. We give examples to things that we're talking about so that we can better understand what's going on. He gave us examples, for example, in the Old Testament of the law. Why did he give the law? He gave the moral law, he gave the civil law, he gave the ceremonial law. The moral law is the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. He gave those. Then he also gave the civil law. Remember, we talked about that last week, the eye for an eye. We said that he had to give that because if somebody took your eye, you want more than that eye. Right? So he just told you, get the eye that they got from you. Don't get their eye, their leg, their arm, and their cousin. Right? Just get the eye. That's that civil law. But he also gave the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law is what we just talked about, how the priest had to make sure that he had himself together before he stepped to the Lord and served him. Why did he give this law? For what example? For what reason did he give this law? Why did he give it? Well, he gave it because you can't keep it. He had to show you in a very real way that you can't keep it. You couldn't keep it. He says, here, keep that thou shalt not covet. Let me see what you'll do with that thou shalt not covet. And you know what we do? We covet. Somebody got a brand new Xbox. We want it. Right? Somebody got a brand new car. We want it. And the Bible even speaks to that. The Bible says, you know, why is it so easy for people to grieve with people rather than to be happy with people? It's easier to grieve with them than to be happy for them. That's just human nature. Amen? But nevertheless, God gave us this law to show us that we need him and we cannot do it on our own. That we need Christ. Another example is the sacrificial system. He told folks to get bulls and goats, and he says, get those bulls and goats for your sins and give them to the priest, and the priest will kill them, put them on the altar so that you can be forgiven, right? But they said in historically, it stated that during the time, during the feast time, the time of Passover, there were so many animals killed. There was so much blood killed by the priests that they were literally walking in blood. Their whole garments were soaked with blood. And the blood that just went down from the altar streamed down to the streams and the rivers. And even the rivers were red. God wanted to show you the ugliness of sin. And he wanted you to see that sin has a price. A price that you can't pay. That you can't pay. So what did he do? He showed that as an example and showed you that he is going to have to come himself to pay the price for you. So he sent Christ down. Christ came and he was hung on that cruel cross. And his blood flowed from that cross. And that's the only blood that's needed for us today. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons, this is in Hebrews 9:13-14, and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of heifers, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purifying our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. He gave us examples to show us what he was really shooting for. Gave us examples to show what he is really shooting for. So, as we've covered throughout the Old Testament, he was giving us an example of what purification or pure was all about. What this pure thing is all about. He had to give us examples of that so he can point to what he was really talking about. So what was he really talking about? There's a hint in Psalms 24. In Psalms 24, verses 3 through 4, he says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. That's what he was hitting at. That's what he was shooting for. See, in the Old Testament, he gave an example to where people thought that it was all about being clean on the outside. It was all about having your hands clean, having your body clean, having your clothes clean. So they were talking about, okay, so this pure thing is about the outside. But in Psalms 24, it tells you no. It's about right thoughts. It's about right talk. And it's about right walk. That's what he was telling you. This thing is not about the outside, but it's about the inside. And Jesus really brought it home in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 11. He says, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that this thing is about what is on the inside. Man, you can come and you can step my way in the sharpest Hugo Boss suit that you want. And you got it tight down to your shoes. They just shining and they tight. But if you open up your mouth and you are saying every cuss word that was ever created, you look defiled. And you are defiled, right? Girl, you can step my way in the sharpest dress that you could think of. And the shoes are hitting that purse on time. Oh, yeah, and you got your big jewelry on, because that's what's in today. The big balls on your neck. They are on time with that necklace, girl. Oh, you are stepping. But when you open your mouth, and it's all about, girl, did you see what, and every cuss word and putting people down, all of a sudden your sharp outfit doesn't even work anymore. You are defiled. It's about what's on the inside that matters. We have a lot of people nowadays playing church. We got a lot of professors and not possessors. And they are all in the church. And holiness is not their mission. They want to look the part. They want to act the part. They want to wave their hands. And they want to thank the Lord. And they want to praise Him to the top of their voice. When their thoughts and their talk and their walk does not match what they're doing when they come to these pews. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Lord is saying, uh-uh. No, that ain't going to go. It ain't going to go. You have to make a choice as to who you will serve. Because some people, God, are themselves. You're serving yourself rather than Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, as we stated in the Old Testament, He had to give an example to show that it was from a cleansing point. And it appeared as if this thing was from the outside. But all along, Jesus came and said, hey, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. And here's the fulfillment of the law. Make sure you're right on the inside. Make sure that your heart is pure. Make sure that your heart is right. Make sure that you are trying to think right. Make sure that you are trying to talk right. Make sure that you are trying to walk right. Now, do you think we or anyone at all will be perfect in this life? No. Believe it or not, even I mess up. Can y'all believe that? I had a hard time believing. No, I didn't. I'm not right all the time in my thoughts. I am not right all the time in my walk. I am not right all the time in all the areas that I've mentioned. But you know what? Here's the trick. And here's the thing. I'm trying to be. There are a lot of folks that decided that, you know what? I ain't going to try. I'm not even going to try. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to give it His try. I'll give it my try. And my try should be good enough for Him. See how twisted that is? My try will be good enough for Him. When He has set the standards, He set the standards, and He set this standard for entrance into His kingdom by saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How's your inside life? How's your inside life? No, serious. How's your inside life? Think about it. When you see me, Do you like just instantly turn your nose up because you can't stand me? Now, if you can instantly turn your nose up because you can't stand someone, doesn't that outside matches the inside? You can't be up there looking like this and saying, he's so handsome. Look at him. I love him. You can't do that. It contradicts, doesn't it? It contradicts. Because what's on the inside is bound to come up and show itself out, ain't it? So how are you on the inside? Is your walk right? Are you going to the right places? Are you going to the right places? Are you doing the right things? Are you doing the right thing? Remember, God cares about the instruments he used, right? So all of a sudden, if you are like going to the, I'll let y'all fill in that blank. If you're going there and if you are talking any kind of a way, then tell me this. How can all of a sudden, when that's known, then you come into the church, how can you actually be used to get someone like from here with God to here with God? How can he use you to put people at a place where you're not even at? You see what I'm saying? Holiness matters. Holiness matters. How's your inside life? That's what this is talking about. That's what it boils down to. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall, man, see God. I should have had some like the organ going. I should have all that going. But come on. To see God is the reward. To see God is the blessing. In 1 John, 3rd chapter, it says, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Y'all know in 2 weeks, iPhone is coming out with He's coming out with an 8. Woo! iPhone 8. Woo! iPhone 8. Aren't y'all excited about that? Hey, they're coming out with a new Xbox 84. Woo! Woo! The graphics on it is, I mean, they are in the room with you, sitting down, eating snacks. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! We get excited about these things. But you know what? The older I get, the iPhone doesn't do it for me. New cars don't do it for me. Big homes don't do it for me. Sharp clothes don't do it for me. But all of a sudden, when my focus becomes more about him and more about heaven and more about seeing him, I get excited. Now I understand what Bishop Watkins was talking about long ago when he stood here and said, I don't have a death wish, but my grip is packed and my mind is made up and I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to see him. Saints, if Jesus is not your reward, something's wrong on the inside. It points to something being wrong on the inside because Jesus is my reward. Not anything that's down here. Oh, it's cool to have children. It's cool to have a wife. It's awesome to have these privileges in life. But you know what? Even those privileges point to God. Even those privileges point to Him. And it makes me say, I thank God for. I thank God for. I remember, saints, long ago, when all I could think about is having a sharp ride. That's all I wanted. My first car was a Horizon. A Horizon. Just imagine a squished vehicle. And on top of that, it had a rusty ski rack. I don't ski. But it had a ski rack on it. And it was like a dirty yellow color. And it was stick shift. I was so happy when I first got that car. But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking around and I'm seeing all of these sharp grips. Is that what y'all call them? Sharp grips. And I'm like, man, that brother rolling. And I'm, man, that brother rolling. And I'm going down to Wayne State. And I'm like, man, that brother rolling too. And all of a sudden, I said, man, I want me a ride so bad. Then the day came where I had enough money to get in debt. Financial Peace. Financial Peace University. I said, yes, I am going to go out there and I'm going to sign the paper. And I was riding. I was riding. I made sure I had the right music in it. And what was so tight is that I even dressed like my car. My car was black. I was in all black. I was, yeah. Push that seat back. I didn't have, no, I just, right? I was tight. But then all of a sudden, that thing started having problems. It started having problems. Things needed to get fixed on top of the note. Right? On top of the note, things needed to get fixed. And I said, heaven ain't like this. Heaven ain't like this. Where these things that we love just disappoint. These things that we are so invested in just corrode and rust. God is saying that He gives us an eternal reward. And if that doesn't do it for you, guess what? I can't make it more exciting than God. I can't make it more exciting than seeing Him. I can't make it more exciting than being with Him. Because that's what it's all about. But if holiness is your goal, guess what you want to do? Guess what you can't wait to do? Is to see Him. If holiness is truly your goal. So this is check time. Check yourself. Judge yourself. And see exactly where your heart is. Because we went through the Old Testament. And we see that that points to the New Testament. And the New Testament is saying that holiness is not about the outside, but it's about the inside. And if holiness is about the inside and your heart is pure and your mind is made up and it is made up for God, because the main point of this thing is this. Holiness, pure, means unmixed. Unmixed. You didn't like your ketchup being mixed. You didn't like your hot sauce being mixed. And you sure don't like your spouse going around being mixed. But being unmixed, committed to one thing, faithful to one thing. That's what holiness is all about. It's a choice that you decide to keep, and you have put your hand in his hand, and you're walking with him, and you want to be more like him. And that's the point that I want to continue to hammer in your heads, that it's about being like him. If your goal is not being like him, then we have a problem. Please stand. It's time to check yourself today. Because without holiness, we will not see him. And this is such a deep passage. You can't exhaust it. You only can just hit the tip of it. And that's what I tried to do today, is just simply hit the tip of it to tell you that the inside matters. The inside matters. What's going on the inside? What's going on with your desires? What's going on with your commitments? What's going on with your purpose? What's going on with all that? Because if it is not in tune and if it's not in line with God, we have a problem. We have a problem. And here's the problem. You can't see him unless you're right. You can't see him. Choose ye today who you will serve. Stop going out there chasing temporary things when you were made for eternity. You are made for eternity, and you're going to waste your time and everything else on temporary stuff? It doesn't make sense. He's got an eternal reward for an eternal you. Come today. Is there one? Is there one? We beseech you to come. We beg you to come, because you got to see him one day. You're going to see him one day. And one day he'll either say depart, or he will say well done. Come today. And maybe there are those who made the decision. They already made that decision. Amen. They may have made that decision. They say, you know, I'm going to walk with him. Amen. 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 There are those who probably said, you know, I made the decision. I made Jesus my choice. But, you know, down here you get a little, you know, you get a little sidetracked. You get a little, you know, you get a little dirty. Like I said, in the Old Testament, he cleansed you with fire, water, and blood. But in the New Testament, he cleanses you with his word. So maybe you need a word cleansing right now. You need to just be cleansed in his word. You know him for yourself, but you just need that cleansing with his word. I say, come today and rededicate. Rededicate yourself. Push that reset button and get it right with him. Come today. And for those who have visited time and time again, and they see what's going on here at New Life, and they may have decided in their hearts and in their minds that, you know what, I want to join. And you know my motto, the more the merrier. Come on, come on. Is there one? Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.